Scriptures is from Hebrews, and I'm going to make sure to read it out of this version because this is one of the passages that as a kid I was encouraged to memorize in Sunday school, one of those Bible memory verses that every conservative evangelical slash fundamentalist church wanted you to know. And so I've memorized it in the King James Version. I'm going to slip into that this morning, okay? Here we are. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. Let us keep firm in the hope we profess, because the one who made the promise to us is faithful. Let us always think how we can stimulate each other to love and to good works. And don't stay away from the meetings of the community, as some are inclined to do, but encourage one another, and do this all the more as you see that day drawing near. I have often heard that passage used as sort of a bludgeoning rod to those who have not attended church as regularly as the pastor thought they should be attending. And so, forsake ye not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, rings through my head sometimes when I get back into that groove. Many of you might have been in those churches as well, where you were scolded if you missed more than a couple of Sundays during the year. And so it has left a bit of a bad taste in my mouth, that particular verse, as I've gotten older and as my faith has changed. I sometimes have considered that a verse I didn't want to repeat very often. But I was interested last Sunday to hear, as David and Janet Green were leading the session after church on the work of the Freedom School, Janet quoted Hebrews 10:25 right there when she was talking in the meeting, talking about how good it was to assemble together, for groups of people to assemble together and to share with one another their real concerns. And she said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, right out of the King James. And I looked at her and I thought, oh, wow. And she was using this in the context of advocacy and how important it is in community building for normal citizens, active citizens, to draw together and to converse with one another about the things that mattered most to them. And so it was interesting that I was planning today to talk about this little poem that has been used by motivational speakers for a long, long time, especially since the 90s. Called The Sense of a Goose. And it sort of connected with what Janet said last week. This poem that I'm about to read you actually is written in the shape of a V, like a goose's V, a skein of geese. And so the different stanzas are different little Vs. You can't see it. I wish you could. If we had one of those screens, you could see what the words looked like. And it was actually originally written in 1972 by a person named Robert McNeish, who was a lay speaker at his Presbyterian church. He was actually a biology teacher at school who later got into administration, but he was asked to give a sermon as a lay member of the congregation one day, and he wrote this small poem about his observations being at the shore of the Chesapeake Bay and watching a skein of geese fly overhead. The Sense of a Goose. Next fall, when you see geese heading south for the winter, flying along in V formation, you might consider what science has discovered as to why they fly that way. As each bird flaps its wings, it creates an uplift for the bird immediately following. By flying in V formation, the whole flock adds about 70% greater flying range than if each bird flew on its own. Interpretation. People who share a common direction and sense of community can get where they're going more quickly and easily because they're traveling on the thrust of one another. Next V. When a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly feels the drag and resistance of trying to go it alone and quickly gets back into formation to take advantage of the lifting power of the bird in front. Interpretation. If we have as much sense as a goose, We will stay in formation with those who are headed the same way we are. The next V. When the head goose gets tired, it rotates back in the wing and another goose flies point. It's the most tiresome place in the formation. Interpretation. It is sensible to take turns doing demanding jobs with people or if you are a goose flying south. Next V. Geese honk from behind to encourage those up in front to keep up their speed. Interpretation. What do we say when we honk from behind? Last V. Finally, and this is important, when a goose gets sick or is wounded by gunshot or falls out of formation for some other reason, perhaps it's simply tired, two other geese often fall out with that goose and follow it down to lend help and protection. They stay with the fallen goose until it's able to fly or until it dies, and only then do they launch out on their own again with another formation or to catch up with their group. If we have a sense of a goose, we will stand by one another like that, he writes. Now, I probably should just end right there. That's a good sermon. It reminded me that sometimes we think that we can go it alone, and I think we live in a society and a culture that encourages us to try to go it alone. But it's often good to look out at nature and to see that in groups of animals that are traveling in this cosmic journey along with us, they figure out that it's better to be with others rather than to try to do it by themselves. And when I think about some of these points, they hit home to me because there are various points in our lives where we feel like, what's the reason we spend so much time with these difficult groups that we're in, whether they be families or civic groups or social groups or churches or communities or whatever it is? And we have to look back and understand that and to reflect on the real benefit that comes to us by being part of people who are flying the same direction that we're in. I was reminded of this the other day when we were meeting for men's breakfast at the Sparta and around the table with Jeff and Tom and Jonathan Lang and Jack Schuler and Dan Doblar and Jim and so many other people that have gathered at that table once a month. Things that we talk about there are not things that I would feel comfortable perhaps talking about in other places just because people wouldn't understand the conversation. It's interesting to me that it's good to have a group of people who understand you, your common values, the sense of what drives you, to be able to share ideas with as you're traveling down the road. I am very interested in some point in my life building a net zero house with solar panels. Now, I knew that if I have that conversation with people in my family, most of them will kind of look at me like, why in the world would you be interested in doing something like that? But I have a group of people who's sort of flying in the same direction with me here, and I can actually have that conversation and have people be actually interested in it. Think about the ways in which you've found groups of people who share your common values, these common values with you, who care about the things you care about, who want to see the kind of world that you want to see, and how important it is, and how life-giving it is to be able to be in relationship with them, and how blessed we are to have found each other. It's a good thing. It's true, as you think about the geese, that the whole group is able to move more quickly and more easily with the support and encouragement they get from one another. I was thinking this year, just this week of last year, we had passed a mark where four beloved members of this congregation had passed away. Barbara Rush passed away this week, last year. And how difficult it was during that very difficult time. You all were there for each other. You stood by one another during the loss of people who were dear to this community. And without the support of people who really do care and really do know one another, it would be very difficult for us to go on in times of real tragedy. And some of these good norms that we observe from geese make a lot of sense in human relationships as well. It makes sense to take turns doing demanding jobs. Let's keep on trying to do that. And it's good to honk encouragement from behind. When we see people who are trying their best to get good work done, let's keep on honking good encouraging words rather than scolding people for going a couple degrees this way or a couple degrees that way. And if we have the sense of a goose, we will look out for people when the going gets rough and make sure that at least a few people follow people down when the times get hard. I think about the various groups that we have available to us. And it's interesting that this is one of those occasions, excuse me, where we have a polarity at work. There are some groups that are built around achieving common goals, aren't they? There's other groups that are built around attending to individuals' needs. So, for example, a lot of civic groups are built around achieving common goals. For example, I might be a member of a political party. That political party is built around achieving a particular goal. Or I'm a member of the Sierra Club. The Sierra Club is a group of people trying to achieve a common goal. But if I were to come down with a desperate illness, nobody in the Sierra Club really is going to know or even care that I have that serious illness. And really, it's not the function of that group to know or care about that illness. On the other hand, there are groups that are organized around the necessity of paying attention to people's individual needs, and families are a great example of that. Families have all these different sorts of people thrown together who have different sorts of values, and yet we're there to attend to each other's needs. And I know that if I were diagnosed with some serious illness, my great aunt, let's call her Jeannie, would certainly be in contact with me and care about me and perhaps would even send me something and get well card or might even come to visit. But I'm sure that if I tried to have a conversation with her about global warming, we would go nowhere. So, church is one of those interesting organizations that tries intentionally to balance these two goals of achieving common goals and attending to individual needs. And this is why the writer of the Hebrews says to these small groups of people in solidarity with one another after the execution of their leader, Jesus, around the Mediterranean, he says to them, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, because it's your assembling together that keeps the vision alive, and it's your assembling together that allows you to know one another's needs well enough to be able to attend to those needs. It's so good to be in a church that can balance the needs of achieving common goals and the needs of attending to the people's needs that are really in the congregation. That's part of what being church is about. Geese have figured out a natural way to strike that balance. It's interesting. There's a lot of sense in the advice of these geese. And as we've confessed this hour already in the singing of that song, it's good, like a skein of geese, to have a companion on the road. And it's good to be a companion on the road. Let's pray. God, again, we pause to reflect that we're thankful for the gift of friends that come into our lives that care about us. We thank you for the opportunity to be friends to others and to open our lives up to them. We realize that takes some commitment to a group and it takes some energy in flight and it takes a certain amount of giving up of our individual desires and needs sometimes. But we thank you for the opportunity to be in communion with other people and in real community. And we see this as a mark of your Spirit alive among us, drawing us together as one. We ask all this in Jesus' name.